for that, Scott. That was wonderful. Good morning.
Morning.
I want each of you to take a deep breath and smile. God loves you. He has brought you here, and He keeps His promises. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we do indeed bask in Your glory and in Your love and in Your commitment to our salvation. We thank You for that, Father. We glorify and honor You, and may our lives reflect a commitment to You that puts a smile on Your face. Is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
What is your commitment? You ever had anyone challenge your commitment? You ever anyone ask you, are you really, really into this? Well, we're going to talk about that for a while this morning. And I want to sort of set a backdrop. The man is considered by most historians as probably one of the most amazing, talented, intelligent, dedicated human beings to ever grace this earth. His intellect was phenomenal. His talent we still are amazed at today. As a mathematician, as a painter, as an inventor, and as a philosopher, Leonardo da Vinci was one unique individual. But when you read and study about Leonardo da Vinci, one of the things that really comes to the surface is this man knew about commitment. Commitment to his craft, or in his case, his crafts. When you look at the body of work that we have left as a legacy to Leonardo da Vinci, we can see, and those who have studied him have said, it's amazing how committed he was to getting it right and to sharing with others. When you look at some of his paintings, we have the privilege of looking at some of the early renderings from just a rough pencil sketch. And as he would work every day and every week, getting it better and better and refining it, we begin to see the genius in the man. He certainly had a grasp of art. He had a grasp of science. He had a mind that never quit. He was committed to learning. Now we remember him for a lot of things. And this is one of the early drawings and early paintings he was using to do probably one of his most famous works. And this was a painting he did of Judas and Peter. And we see four or five progressive drawings where he tried to put character and meaning into what we know him for in a lot of ways, and that's the Last Supper. And he tried to put, and he successfully put, so much emphasis and so much character and so much detail into the message he was trying to communicate. But if you really study Leonardo da Vinci, you will find he wanted to communicate in a lot of ways, and he was a really deep thinker. This is a quote from him. I have been impressed with the urgency of doing. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Being willing is not enough. We must do. Wow, if we could apply that to our spiritual life. The man understood commitment. He also said, I love those who can smile in trouble. That's why I ask you to smile today. We have some troubles, but God is there. Who can gather strength from distress and who grow brave through reflection. 'Tis the business of the little mind to shrink, but they whose heart is firm and whose consciousness approves their conduct will pursue their principles unto what? Unto death. Now let me read that part again. But they whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves their conduct will pursue their principles unto death. Do you think this man understood commitment? Apply this to your and to my lives. But they whose heart is firm in the Lord and whose conscience approves their conduct, man, what a concept, will pursue their principles unto death. That is commitment. That is knowing what you've got to do and being willing to do it. And one other thing he believed and said was this: every action must be prompted by a motive. Think about that in your daily life. Is every action that you do prompted by a motive? Has our relationship with Christ grown to such a point that every action we take is prompted by a motive to serve Him, to love Him, to honor Him, and to glorify God? When we think about spiritual things, and when we think about Scripture, give me a one-word synthesis of the Bible. I like it. Any others? What one word just sings out in your mind when you think about Scripture and about God? Okay. Well, obviously the first one we almost always hear is love. And it is so true. God is the essence, the author, and the pinnacle of love. Do you think dedication would apply? A God that is so dedicated. And the Bible is full of stories of dedication. How about loyalty? Is God loyal? And are we loyal? But I would submit to you, if we take all three of these, love and dedication and loyalty, and if we kind of wrap them together, I think you'd find that they all come out to commitment. We can put all of those into commitment. And that's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes this morning, is about commitment. If you look in the dictionary, commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, an activity, or a Godhead. And look at the synonyms for commitment: dedication, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity. My friends, if that was our report card for how we served our God, where would we score? Where would we score in dedication? How is our devotion? What about our allegiance to God? Our loyalty, our faithfulness even when we're tempted and when trials are there? And how about our fidelity to the God that hung on a cross for my sins and your sins? Think for a moment about God's commitment to us. And really ponder on how committed God is and was and will be to every one of us. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Now notice in there, it doesn't say, for God so loved Bill, or Mary, or Bob, or Jane. What does it say? For God so loved the world. Have you ever contemplated how it is that God can love a world that's turned its back on Him, that despises Him, that ridicules Him, and yet His love is unwavering and boundless? Is God committed to us? You bet He is. Let's think a minute about commitment. Look at Ephesians 1:4. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You got to kind of take that apart to really understand what's going on here. Could God have said, that experiment didn't work, I want to start over? Praise God, He didn't. But it says God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. The commitment was such that knowing Rick was going to hurt him, Rick was going to sin, Rick was going to ridicule him, He still chose Rick. And each one of you in the sanctuary today, that, my friends, is commitment. Romans 5:8 shares this with us. God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's more than just words. It's more than just saying, yes, I support you. Romans tells us God demonstrates His love through the sacrifice of Christ. And that sacrifice given when we weren't part of the family. Is that commitment? Is that a love that we have yet to even begin to understand? Matthew 26:39 shares a little more. Going a little further, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed. Who's this speaking of? It's speaking of the Messiah of Christ. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. Was Christ suffering in Gethsemane? He was suffering at a level we can't begin to appreciate. Both physically and spiritually and mentally and emotionally, the weight of my sin was killing the Savior. And yet He says, Father, if there's any other way to do this, if there is any other way, can we go there? And yet, Your will, not mine. You ever been there? You ever been to a place where you look at God and you say to God, I can't take anymore. This is all I've got. And if there's any other way, it sure be nice. Because I'm out of energy, I'm out of love, I'm out of patience, I'm out of money, I'm out of whatever. But how often do we follow that up with, yet not as I will, but as you will? Do you really grasp and appreciate the commitment that God has for every one of us? Nothing is more important to Him than you and I being in the kingdom with Him. Nothing. 2 to the point where He was willing to hang on a cross. We are all sinners saved by grace. There wasn't anything and there isn't anything any one of us can do to earn our way to heaven. But praise God, Jesus has already done it. And we can accept that and we can be there. Let's think about our commitment to God. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Is that a prayer we each should have? Absolutely. And is that something that's accomplished on the day of our baptism? Or is it a lifetime of pursuing with commitment and enthusiasm and joy, learning what God wants for us? What He wants us to do, the joy He wants us to have, and the message we have to share with a dying world. Matthew 22:37 puts it this way. And He said unto them, what? We all know it. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I will confess to you, brothers and sisters, I fail. I have yet to reach the point where I love my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. And in fact, there are times when I look at that and I go, there's no way. I get distracted. I stumble. I have other things that are tugging and pulling at me. But God says, it's not impossible. He says, if you'll just stay the course, if you will be committed, I will help you get there. I won't let you fail. I will teach you and show you and give you the strength and the power to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Are you that committed to the Jesus that hung on the cross for you? James 1:3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Anyone in this room not have had a test? We are tested. We are tested on a regular basis. And I would submit to you, if you're not being tested, you want to really get down on your knees. Because there's something wrong. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. My friends, if your faith isn't being tested today, you're not learning and developing the muscle of perseverance. And if you think that you'll wait until the last days when the world is crumbling around you and then your faith will be strong, I'm worried for you. Our faith needs to be tested today. But how does our faith get tested today? We have heard prayers and we have heard stories within our dear church family of illness and jobs and so many things that test faith. And there will be more. And that's what builds perseverance. Perseverance means commitment, does it not? Staying the course. Going ahead. Even when you get on your knees and you look to God and you say, I don't understand. What more do you want? You continue to go forward. You continue to surrender. And you continue to trust. A little further we read this. But to one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his words. He will be blessed in his doing. But the one who looks into the perfect law. So does that mean every sermon we give up here should be about the law? We got to be consummate observers of the law? No. It says the law of liberty. What do we as Christians and Adventists know about the law of God? It frees us from what? From sin. Doesn't mean that we ignore it, but it is the freedom, excuse me, of that law that allows us to move forward. And I like the other part of this. Being no hearer who forgets. There's a lot of people today, and unfortunately there's going to be the majority of people in the end who heard the message. They will have heard the good news of the gospel. And they will have chosen not to do it. Remember what our friend Leonardo said. I have become convinced that I must be a doer. That knowledge is not enough. I've got to do something. If you look at Scripture and the process of sinners being saved by grace, it's about change. We must be changed in order to enter the kingdom. And in grateful celebration of the change that God provides for us, we become doers. If we were the doers we need to be, would there be any empty places in this church today? There would not. If we were the doers that we need to be, if Rick was the doer that he needs to be, so I ask you about commitment. We spent a few moments this morning and we've talked about the unfathomable and the unwavering commitment that God has for every one of us as evidenced by the cross. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's what? House. Are many dwelling places. Another version says many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to do what? To gather you up that you may be with me. Beloved, God's love for you and I goes beyond bringing us back into the family. It goes beyond being there with us through every trial and every tribulation. It goes beyond providing the strength we need for every situation we face on this earth. It goes beyond to eternity. And he says, I love you so much. My commitment to you is so profound that I died for you. And now I go to prepare a place where you and I can be together forever. Christ is anxious. Christ is waiting for the moment when he can embrace us and say, welcome home. Do you appreciate that level of commitment? He loves you with a love that we can't even describe. And likewise, my friends, we are called, and we find in Revelation, here is the patience of the saints, and my friends, I'm looking at the saints. Here are those who will do what? Keep the commandments, not because they're checking the boxes, but because it's our way of celebrating the gift of salvation. And it says, the faith of Jesus. We must keep the faith of Jesus. How often have you heard from here and from a brother or sister when you are struggling? Keep the faith. Keep the faith. God's commitment to us will never waver. God's commitment to us will never fail. It'll never get less. How about your and my commitment to Him? What is your commitment? And when you think about commitment as you leave today, remember those six things that we looked at as synonyms. And they included what? Dedication, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness, and fidelity. Do a reality check on a regular basis about your commitment to a God who is willing to give everything to assure that you could spend eternity with Him. We are loved with a love that's beyond measure. We are provided strength and courage from a God who's been there and done that. He knows our every trial. He knows our every tribulation. And He says, I will stay with you until the end. But my friends, let's be thrilled, let's be happy, let's be joyful. The end is eternity with the Messiah. Bow your heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to be committed to the sharing of the gospel, to the helping of our brothers and sisters, to spreading the word, to being joyful Christians. Father, let every day be an opportunity to celebrate your commitment to us, and let every day be a blessing to the world, because we have lived out and we have done, not just said, a demonstration of our commitment to you is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.